Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Todd Reynolds. Nice to see you all tonight. On behalf of Phil, I'd like to welcome you, and I have the honor of the of this first slot tonight. In working with the Reynolds A2s, I just wanted to sort of, Phil and I agreed that it would be really nice to tell you a little bit about them as a whole and each one individually. Jim, if you wouldn't mind, just mute the board for a minute. Thanks. These pieces were begun in September of 2001, before September 11th. And some of them were completed before that time, and then there are many that were completed afterwards. Tonight, I'm going to read off the titles to you, and you can count with me, because I'm not exactly sure how many there are here either. The Etude in Eighths, Etude in F sharp minor, the Etude in F, which is a lullaby, Etude 629, Etude 630, and Etude in G minor, and Etude in D minor. How many is that?
Seven.
Seven, okay, thanks. So, in any case, these have come in two groups. First of all, the way this came about was simply that, you know, Phil and I actually began to know each other only in the past 3 or 4 years, and I really, really, really wanted to play some of his music. I loved it very much. And we began to discuss this idea of a group of etudes, sort of like the Paganini etudes, maybe 24 of them, who knows what number. And since then, it's been a real wonderful canvas on which to paint. So we've sort of thrown back and forth ideas of what kinds of etudes to write, for whom, what different combinations. Still in the works are an etude for Phil and myself, one for myself and each member of Ethel, and there's one for, you know, possibly conducted. All sorts of ideas come to mind. It's just a real fruitful way to work. And the etude in eighths and the etude in F sharp minor and the etude in D minor and the etude in G minor were the first deliveries. I got a delivery of four. It was very exciting. The etude in F sharp minor was written, I believe, the day after the events of September 11th, and it's actually second in the order tonight. It's a pretty moving piece, both to play and to listen to, in my humble opinion. In any case, that's basically it. The order tonight was basically throw the music up in the air and see which lands first. So we did set out to sort of craft an order based upon just a sensibility. And instead, what we ended up doing was just grabbing the order in which I found the music when I picked it up to look at it again. So I do hope you enjoy this. The reason I asked Jim to turn off the house system, and I just want to say this to you tonight, for some reason, a little gremlin has crawled right into my equipment. And this gremlin has an incredibly high voice. So it's upsetting me, and I hope it doesn't upset you, but I introduce it to you just so that if you do hear it, you don't have to wonder what it is. And you can just sort of sit back inside it and enjoy the music in spite of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Pictures of an Exhibitionist. I'm the voice of Kathy Sapovi, by the way. What you see up on the screen right now is my parents. Alice Cordelia Ramsey Boardman on the left met Larry Sapovi, and she was a divorcee with two teenage children. My father was also a divorcee with no kids. They met, and little by little, they fell in love and got married and went on this honeymoon across the country. And this was taken somewhere in the Great Plains, I think, though that is a yak, in fact, in the picture. They, when they got home from their honeymoon, they decided that they would have a child of their own. And that's when my troubles began. My father was... he was a very brilliant engineer, and he was kind of a visionary, and he was also a bit of a nut, as was my mother. But one of the things my father was really nutty about was he constantly took pictures. He took pictures of celebrities, he took pictures of animals in the zoo mating, he took pictures of sites that he was surveying, he took tons of pictures of the family. He took pictures of me all the time, and I always hated it. I was enormously awkward. I was not a particularly beautiful child, and it upset me tremendously. So, of course, Phil has now decided to write a cycle of 23 pieces based on these pictures. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been really great. Pictures of an Exhibitionist is what I guess we've decided to subtitle Cold War Kinderszenen. Thanks, Time Out, for the term. Cold War. And I decided that people shouldn't have to read program notes in the dark, so we're going to flip through the pictures quickly, and I'm just going to say a few words about them, and then we'll go through them again with the piece, okay? This is called Going Places. It was taken on a trip to Arizona for my cousin's wedding when I was about 5. And it was lovely to be in Arizona because the sun actually shined, unlike Portland, Oregon, where I grew up. And we're very happily walking down the street. I've always loved sunglasses. I've never found them to be useful in the least, but I've always loved them, and I'm actually very fond of this picture. Okay. This beach has a tremendous meaning to me. This is the Oregon coast, and that's Haystack Rock in the background. And I spent many, many springs and summers and everything there. It still has a really big spiritual meaning to me. Whenever I go out west to Portland, I always make a point to go down and walk on the beach. It's tremendously cold there and always raining. Maybe that's why I have that umbrella. I don't know. No matter how cold it is, if I'm sick, whatever, I'll always make a point to walk on the beach. And the title of this one is Dancing with Umbrella, and I think dancing is putting a very nice face on what it is I'm doing here with my mother watching. Okay. Yeah, no comment. This is called ballet, I took ballet lessons from age 3 to age 13, and I can actually parse out the years of my young childhood in what character I was playing in dance class that year. And this was, as you can see, the year of the butterfly. I was a butterfly. I'm the person on the far right. I love the girl in the middle, the extremely skinny one. She is really too much. But this was a live performance. This was taken during the performance of me as a butterfly. This is dressing up. It's at my aunt's house, my mother's sister. This is the kind of dress that I can't imagine having liked then, but would actually like very much now. It was a beautiful mauve color, and really lovely, one of those big-shouldered things, and of course it didn't fit at all, but I actually look happy to be in it, but I don't ever remember enjoying dressing up, so who knows. Okay. I think this is Phil's favorite, as I recall. This is called Plotting. And I look like I'm plotting something. I have no recollection of what I was indeed plotting. I love the fact that it's like one of those old English paintings where there's some character off to the side that's actually looking into the painter's face, or the, in this case, the camera lens, and you can see there it's our cat, Spots. And Spots was a very smart cat. She knew everything except how to avoid getting pregnant. And she brought us many litters of kittens as a result, and that was really great. This is my favorite picture of my entire childhood. I actually think I look cute in that picture. It's the only picture of my childhood where I think I look cute. I call it my Jennifer Aniston photo. Even though I have the flu in the picture and I look very sour, I think it was worth it just to be a cute kid that looked sour and had the flu. The chair in the background that has my name on it was built by my parents, both of whom were extremely handy. They were both capable of building and painting things like that. And so that's a favorite. Actually, believe it or not, my grandniece owns it now. This is entitled Unicorn. It's probably not a unicorn, actually. I'm so impressed that Phil would give it such a noble name. I think it's actually some attempt to change a horse into a donkey or something. and it was also taken on that trip to Arizona for my cousin's wedding. It's in, if you can see the sign in the background with the motel, it was taken in Stockton, California. And I have no recollection of enjoying being on horseback or unicorn back or anything like that, though I do now. This is At the Piano. It's in no way prophetic at all. It's a toy piano. and it's kind of funny because I have no idea what became of that toy piano. And I never thought about toy pianos for years and years until a few years back when, in this very space in Roulette, I played a piece of Jerome Kitsky's called The Animus Child on toy piano. So it's kind of funny that here's this picture of me playing toy piano in Roulette. And that's my mother looking on, which was, she did a lot of in my childhood, and that's our living room. This is either called Menagerie or Stuffed Toys. Menagerie is a great word, but we noticed that there was a clown in it, and we weren't sure if a clown qualified as an animal or not. This is taken from when I had short hair and was older and didn't like the way I looked. I also really loved that stuffed cat that's in the foreground, but I think now that there's something kind of unnatural about a stuffed toy that's bigger than the actual animal that it represents. So I don't know what I was thinking at the time. Okay. Yes, I'm the butterfly again here. And this piece is actually entitled Butterfly, but Phil isn't writing so much about me as a butterfly in this piece. He wrote more about the actual flight pattern of a butterfly, which in fact may have been something like my ballet dance pattern. I really don't remember, except that I do remember I was, I enjoyed ballet a lot, but I wasn't really that great at it. This is the year of the gypsy. I'm older here, and I was a gypsy that year, and I loved the gypsy year because the gypsy year I could wear eye makeup, and my dad didn't even mind. He was very old country, and he didn't really want me to do anything with my hair or wear makeup or anything like that. So this was really exciting. I could actually legally wear makeup, and I think there was something really exotic about being a gypsy. And I remember we wore shower curtain rings on our ears to be like, you know, huge loopy pierced earrings, and that was just like so exciting to me at that age. In the shower, and I am actually in a shower. I'm behind a shower glass. I don't know if you can tell. And I, as a child, I despised showers. I was scared to death of them, and I don't know why I'm locked in the shower there, but I don't think I'm very happy about it, but my father must have found it kind of an amusing photo, so there it is, which is really strange because now I love showers, and it's taken me a long time to get back into taking baths. So I really don't know what I was so scared about then. This is at the museum, probably the Portland Art Museum. When Phil first saw this, he said, "What are you doing sitting out in the middle of the floor, just like out in thin air?" But if you can sort of see that I'm in a stroller, but I look a little bit suspended, and my dad must have had some big compositional idea of me sitting among the masterpieces in the Portland Art Museum. Not that he had any grandiose ideas or anything. And you can see my mother looking on also. And we saw a lot of art exhibits as a kid. Both my parents hated anything that was modernist in the least. They hated anything that wasn't totally realistic and representational. And I went along with that until about age 17. And then I had a radical shift. Okay. This is the year of the courtier. And in fact, the piece is called Courtier, and I'm a courtier here. And Phil and I were commenting that that's a word that we've never used before or since. But presumably it means a person of the court. So this is this picture says it all. You know, I wonder, there's so many conflicting things. I can't decide if photos lie or whether they tell deeper truths. And to me, this is one that attempts to lie but inadvertently tells the truth, because you can see the clown is smiling really broadly, and my mouth is going in exactly the opposite direction. So that that kind of sums up like how I felt about things then, actually. And it's called Clown, the piece. This is very exciting. I really didn't appreciate it enough at the time, but for one of my birthdays, my mom made a Sonny and Cher cake. I don't know if you can tell, but that is Sonny and Cher. And in fact, she used some kind of licorice for Cher's hair, and she had a beautiful teal blue frosting for her top that she was wearing. And I forget the microphone, that's a microphone between them, and that was done in some imaginative way. And Sonny's vest that he was wearing was done with burnt coconut. So that's Sonny and Cher. The name of the piece is Cake. This is Swimming Pool. This is also at that wedding in Arizona. And it's such an odd Twilight Zone kind of picture, because here we are at this beautiful pool, and yet we're all dressed up in these really uncomfortable looking clothes. Presumably we were getting ready to go to the wedding. And I have no recollection of having actually used the pool that time. And they kept telling me that I could have been the flower girl in the wedding, but that we got there too late. We drove down from Portland and we arrived too late. We wouldn't have been able to rehearse. But then later on, my cousin confessed to me a few years later that someone had told her, never use a child in your wedding because they always upstage you. So that's why I didn't get asked. Okay. I'm about six here. That gas mask is real. It was my dad's from the Second World War, and I was very scared of it. I don't know how he got me to put it on. It smelled really funny, and I couldn't breathe very well in it, but he must have convinced me to put it on long enough to pose for the picture. I'm even smiling, so. It's called Gas Mask, by the way. This one is called Family Portrait, and in the picture you see left to right is me, my mother, my Uncle Jim, my Aunt Lillian, and my cousin, his name was Ned then, but he changed his name to Ed. So he's sort of Ned/Ed. And the thing about them is that my father did not speak to Jim. He wouldn't speak to him. We'd go visit him, and my dad just wouldn't speak to him, which I found enormously embarrassing and really kind of awkward, and it was really horrible to be sitting there and have my dad not speak to this man, and I thought, why is my dad being so unreasonable? I later found out that a couple of my dad's grievances were that, one, he had broken my aunt's arm a couple of times, also, he had sent my aunt money to leave him, and she had failed to leave him and spent the money. So for some strange reason, I guess that bothered my father a lot. So he refused to speak to Jim my entire life. I spoke to him once and found him to be kind of bitter and obnoxious, but that was my only experience with him. Later, my Aunt Lillian in the picture, she told me, and this was, you know, when I was well into adulthood, she told me later that she thought my dad had been a real dope to have married my mother. who had two teenage kids, like, what was my dad thinking? And this was kind of strange, because by the time she told me this, my father, my mother, and my brother were dead, so I sort of thought, well, what does it matter now, you know, really? And then Ned, also recently told another cousin of mine that he had finally figured out why he didn't like me. He resented me because my father had not stood in the way of me becoming a musician, which I found very interesting given that he died when I was 15. So I thought, well, of course he didn't stand in my way, he died. You know, anyway, but it's funny because I think that that is captured in this picture. I think it's like everybody's in their own track and thinking their own thoughts, and and it's sort of like the dysfunctional family portrait, and it's entitled Family Portrait. This is my name in the sand, presumably written by my father, who also took the picture. And I love the way the piece interfaces with this picture. Phil deals with waves a lot in the piece, and the waves, of course, will take the name away. It's one of those pictures where, like, if it were Beverly Sills, you'd be saying, oh, from an early age, I enjoyed being in front of an audience. I lived to be in front of an audience. In fact, I didn't. I was scared. I don't know what I was doing here, but I did have a couple of occasions to speak into microphones as a child and never enjoyed it. But there's something about this picture that you don't believe that. You really think this person is enjoying herself and really loving it. And so I think that was kind of unavoidable in the piece that Phil wrote, which is entitled At the Microphone. This is Wedding. Perhaps in many little girls' childhoods, they go through a phase where they want to marry their father. And so one night I decided I wanted to have a wedding with my father, and that was that night. And it's funny, it doesn't really even look like me. But I like the outfit very much. But I've heard stories from many people about how, like, their daughters want to marry their fathers and that sort of thing. And I don't know. I guess I would think it was weirder, except so many people have gone through it. So anyway, Wedding. And finally, at the mirror? In the mirror. This was a fun house. I went to a number of fun houses. My dad took me to an amazing fun house when I was a kid. It was a house that was built on a hill that when you walked in it, you couldn't stand up straight. And I can't remember if there was some weird magnetic thing going on or if it was an optical illusion about how it was built. But I remember walking in and not being able to stand. And these things, of course, terrified me as a child. They made me really unhappy. But just here for a moment, I seem a little bit happy by seeing my image. And the thing about these mirrors is that you go in and out of looking normal. And that's captured in the piece. Okay, that's what I think, now you'll know what Phil thinks.